a gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLPodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Inside Sources. Inside Sources. Utah's source for exclusive access and insights behind the news. Here's the opinion page editor of the Deseret News, Boyd Matheson, on KSL News Radio 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
Welcome, everyone, to Inside Sources here on KSL News Radio. Great to be with you today. I am Boyd Matheson, and typically we start this show by saying, as always, we have a lot of ground to cover in the fastest 60 minutes of radio, and we will only be able to do that for just a few more days because beginning next week, it will not be the fastest 60 minutes in radio. We are going to expand to a full two-hour program. We will be Monday through Friday, 1 p.m. to 3 p.m., and we will continue to do the important things of slowing things down, trying to divide the rage from the reason, elevating the conversation, helping you connect the dots and make the news make sense. But really what we want is more. We want to be able to have more in-depth conversations like the one we're going to have right now with Utah Senior Senator Mike Lee, who was down at the border late last week and has very graciously joined us this morning to give us a little breakdown of what he saw at the border. Senator, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you, Boyd, and congratulations on your new assignment. I look forward to that two-hour slot, and hopefully that means that I can use a lot more flowery language when I come on your show because we won't be so rushed for time.
That's right. That's right. We are going to slow it down just a little bit. Well, you were down at the border with many of your colleagues late last week observing everything going on. Of course, the big debate is it a challenge at the border? Is it a crisis at the border? I think it goes well beyond just what flowery word choice we happen to go with, depending on which political party you're in. But tell us what you saw down there at the border.
Look, I saw a crisis. I don't think any sane person could look at it and not conclude that it's a crisis. It's a crisis, even according to Obama administration officials and metrics they supplied several years ago. Under any objective metric, what we've got down there is a significant humanitarian problem. We've got facilities like the one I toured in Donna, Texas, near the U.S.-Mexico border. It's designed to handle right now 250 people. They've got 4,200 children housed in there right now. When we first arrived, we visited a border site in Mission, Texas, where coincidentally, I spent a significant period of my LDS mission, and we saw women and children arriving by the hundreds late at night. This was at about midnight. They were sleeping on the ground in the dirt with aluminum foil-looking blankets. There is no question here that the drug cartels are being enriched to the tune of $14 million a week, every week for the last month, based on this very lucrative business. And it's causing its own set of humanitarian issues, and it's got to be addressed. Look, we are a nation of immigrants, and we're a nation of laws. We need to always be both of those things. We need both of them, and the minute we give up on either one of them, we lose both of them.
Yeah, I think that's so important. And I wanted to ask you, you mentioned being a missionary for The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints down there in that area, and also this idea of not accepting the false choice, that compassion and rule of law are actually compatible principles and can be done. So first, just describe just kind of your emotion, having been down there, having served people, worked with people in that part of the country. What's the compassion side for you? And then what is the rule of law and the policy path forward?
Well, look, one of the ways in which we are the last great hope of the world is that we are a society that lives under the rule of law. We're the kind of place where people want to move. And we are somewhat unique among developed nations in our compassion and the number of people we allow into this country legally every single year. We need to continue doing that. And I hope that we will even do more of it as we can handle it. But when people come in violation of our laws and then we propel that, you're going to end up enriching those who were facilitating it, in this case, multi-billion dollar drug cartels. And that's bad. And so the compassion is diminished. But yeah, as to the part of your question dealing with mission, it was very interesting. I found myself standing there in a press conference with as one of 18 U.S. senators, and suddenly realized we were at the same park where I spent a lot of time on P-Days as a missionary. Mm-hmm. That I couldn't have necessarily imagined this particular scene with this particular group of people as a young missionary. But never, even though there were issues with illegal immigration back then, we never saw anything on this scale, and not anything close to it. The people are coming so quickly that we're not able to absorb the issue. We're not even able to offer basic law enforcement and safety services to people along the border. We, while taking a tour of the Rio Grande, we actually came across human remains floating in the river. This is part of what happens when a government signals, as unfortunately our current administration has, that we're just not going to enforce the laws as they exist to protect our country. And one of the things that people sometimes forget is that there's no group of people in this country more immediately and more directly and adversely affected by uncontrolled waves of illegal immigration than poor people who live along the border. Many of whom are themselves recent immigrants.
Yeah.
It's not fair to them.
Yeah, that's it's so interesting. And so as you look at the path forward, Senator, if you just joined us, we have Utah Senator Mike Lee on the line with us. He was down at the border late last week, sharing some observations from that. And as you look at the path forward, I know one of the things that you've done throughout your time, over a decade now in Washington, D.C., has been to try to make sure that when we look at the immigration issue, that we're not having a gang of 8 or 12 or 16 or whatever it may be. Gangs are bad, I think, is a general rule. But also these big, massive, you know, 1,000-page bills, because there does seem to be, and is there still, agreement on a lot of the specifics if we were just a little more laser-focused in terms of marching through the immigration issue?
Yeah, immigration bills, by and large, have become contentious. They need not all be that way. Not every area within immigration law is unavoidably contentious. What's made them untenable is the fact that people have assumed that unless you tackle every area within immigration law, a huge area, you can't pass anything. Well, that then guarantees that you'll never pass anything. This has happened in 2008 and 2009, happened again in 2013 and 2014. And it's going to happen again if we're not careful and if we don't start to do this in smaller, sort of more bite-sized approaches that will allow Congress to focus in on a particular issue.
Oh, fantastic. Senator, we got just a minute or so left, and just wanted to get in quickly. I know you introduced the more pilt. We talk about these payments in lieu of taxes that really are a way for the federal government to sort of shortchange and still control many of our rural areas here in the state of Utah. Just give us a quick synopsis of that, and then we'll have you back next week to do a deeper dive.
Okay, so the short of it is we've got a lot of communities in Utah. Two-thirds of our land is owned by the federal government. We've got a number of counties where we're talking more than 90%, in some cases more than 95% of the land is owned by the federal government. The federal government doesn't allow states and counties to tax federal land. And so in order to offset the burden that it places on them, they have a program called PILT, Payment in Lieu of Taxes. Problem with PILT is that it's notoriously underfunded, and there's been no recent concerted effort to make sure that they're using any kind of model that appropriately values the land and appropriately compensates the counties for the loss of tax revenue. So this legislation that I've introduced has as its object providing a full, fair valuation of the land with an eye toward getting to a point where we can offer counties a rough approximation of the tax revenue they would have gotten based on that land, were it not held by a government that then exempts itself from property taxation.
Yeah, it's such a critical one, especially for our rural counties here in the state of Utah. An important battle, an important one to be fighting for the people of Utah on. And we'll have you back next week to do a little deeper dive there. But Utah Senior Senator Mike Lee joining us. Fascinating observations from the border and immigration issues, as well as our counties and the payment in lieu of taxes. It's an interesting concept. I don't think it works for individual citizens. But Senator, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks so much, Boyd, and look forward to your new program. And I think we should all be thinking of names that we could apply to it. I'll start working on some.
The extra time slot, it's a good thing. Thanks, Senator. We're going to go ahead and step aside for a quick commercial break. As the Senator just said, we are going to have more Inside Sources starting next Monday, 1 to 3 p.m., Monday through Friday. Lots to talk about, lots of conversations to elevate. Make sure you stay with us here on KSL News Radio.
Two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.